It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the wash of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we continue the series, Smooth Tongues for a Rough Beast. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is the Cathedrals with I Know My Savior Is There, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
Lynn and I grew up singing this style of music. And you know what? What's so neat about it, this style of music was born right here in this part of the country, the good old convention type songs from the Stouts Baxter School of Music, you know. And so, can we rehearse this?
We can do it.
Call, I Know My Savior Is There. Oh, I like it already.
Keep on smiling through my tears, because I know my Savior is there. I'll bear my burden,
bear my burden,
my load of care.
Jordan deep and wide, but he will deliver safely to the other side. Oh, but then whatever awaits me, I'll be satisfied.
Is there? I'll bear my
will bear my burden,
my load of care,
and my load of care.
After he's before
if
me,
he goes before me,
I will go.
I'm going anywhere
with the many
troubles all around me.
I'll not despair.
I'll not despair,
cause I'm
for I know my Savior is there.
I'll bear my burden.
I'll not despair,
cause
I know my Savior is there.
Today we're going to continue our series on smooth tongues for a rough beast, unholy deceivers in the Christian church today. I'm going to go very fast. We've got so much material to cover today. We showed you where the greatest so-called religious leaders in the world today are not only just professional religious clergy, but also are politicians and entertainers. I told you, and I believe this is true, that today the world's greatest religious leader, so-called, is Pope John Paul II. But following in his train is George W. Bush, the President of the United States, whom millions of Christians worship and adore, claiming he's a Christian just like them. And you know what? I do believe it. He is a Christian just like them. And then following close behind is Mel Gibson, the entertainer. His profession of faith in Mary and Jesus. Mary, who he says is a tremendous co-redeemer and mediator between man and God. And Mel Gibson is right behind him, the entertainer, man. His movie, Passion of the Christ, has brought him up there. So many millions admire him today. And, of course, you have to include Billy Graham in that number as well. And interestingly enough, all of these men practice the same faith. The Pope, Mel Gibson, George Bush, Billy Graham, who's been called the Protestant Pope, but he's not a Protestant. He's not protesting anything. Because Billy Graham himself has said the Pope is the world's greatest religious leader. And they're all in it together. They all believe the same thing, that it doesn't matter what God you worship. The New Catechism says that. George W. Bush has said that over and over. Billy Graham has said that. You're going to hear more on this program. And what can I say? They're all in it together. Mel Gibson told Diane Sawyer that it didn't matter what religion you had. Jew, Muslim, going to heaven. When you get down to the bed root, it seems that there's some kind of a satanic, real connection between all of these people. I want to give you some quick evidence here. We're going to see if we can't get some of these men. You can actually hear their voices when they show you they're apostate. These are smooth tongues for a rough beast. Some years ago, my brother, before he passed away, he was a backslidden Christian at the time. But he respected my ministry. And I want to tell you, I just want to thank Jesus right here now. Because it was shortly after he and I had this discussion that he returned again to Jesus Christ. And when he passed away, at the age, I believe, my brother Troy was only 53. He passed away as a vibrant, true, living Christian. No longer backslid. And you know what? His wife came to know Jesus, his children, his whole family. But at that moment, he was a very respected oil man. You might say he'd been in the oil business all his life. And he and I were talking, and he said, "Tex, I don't understand your ministry. You make enemies. I work for an oil company. We want to get people to come to our gasoline pumps. We want customers. We want as many as we can. And we give them what they want. But you seemingly turn away some people. You have a message that doesn't cater to the masses," he said. And then he told me something. It's an old saying. Everybody knows it. He says, "You know, you could get a lot more. you can attract a lot more with honey than you can with sandpaper. And I smiled and I laughed. I said, Troy, Jesus Christ is neither sandpaper or honey. He's just the truth. You tell the truth and the Holy Ghost draws them. I'm not trying to draw anybody to anybody. I don't have to. I just tell the truth. And then the Holy Ghost draws whosoever it will. He looked at me quizzical. He said, but don't you agree with me? You can draw, you can attract a lot more with honey than sandpaper? I said, well, you know, it's interesting. But one of the chief demons, it is said, has the name Beelzebub. And he is called Lord of the Flies. Honey would attract the flies, the Beelzebubs of the world. But sandpaper would no doubt repel them. I prefer sandpaper. And he, my brother laughed. And, sweetheart, listen to me. I told my wife, Wanda, when she asked me one time, wouldn't I prefer all men love me? I said, yes, indeed, I would love that. I would so much appreciate if all men could love me. And when Jesus came, he asked his disciples, he said, everyone else has left me. Will you too turn away from me? And when he was on the cross, even one of his closest friends, Peter, denied him three times as he was being brought to that cross, I should say. Seemingly, he had few friends in the world because he told the truth. It doesn't matter how many friends you have here on earth. Listen to me. It doesn't matter if your church turns you out. And every day I get tearful letters from people, good Christians whose churches are excommunicating them, whose pastors are saying, it might be good if you left our fellowship. I say to you, it doesn't matter. That's probably the best thing. Come out and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now, I want to explain this to you about this Catholic thing. It seems the whole world is moving into the Catholic faith, but the Catholic faith is taking us into the Netherlands of satanic worship. Some years ago, I went to a conference of Dr. David Allen Lewis. He was the best known Assembly of God prophecy teacher. He was a friend of Jim and Tammy Faye Baker's. I didn't much know the man. I went to his conference, and there were these Jewish officials from the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C., and there was an Israeli general. And David Allen Lewis did everything he could to butter up these men. Oh, he offered honey to them. I got up and I spoke, and I said that Jesus is the only way for Israel. And I said, without Jesus Christ, the nation of Israel has no hope. They got so mad at me, those Jewish dignitaries, they wouldn't even shake my hand. David Allen Lewis called me an anti-Semite. Friends, you must determine to please only God. I later found out that Dr. David Allen Lewis has an honorary doctorate. Most of the Christian leaders have honoraries. They don't have real doctorates. He was an honorary doctor. And where did he get his doctorate? It was given to him by the Gregorian Pontifical University in Rome. The Catholics gave him a doctorate. Did you know that Billy Graham has never earned a doctorate? But he's called Dr. Billy Graham. You may want to read the book Smokescreens by my friend Jack Chick. He has a picture of Billy Graham being given his honorary doctorate by a Catholic university. Pat Robertson founded the Christian Coalition, but its leadership was primarily Catholic. And then it was discovered that Pat Robertson is a high-level official of the Catholic secret society, the Knights of Malta. J. Peter Grace was the head of the North American division of the Knights of Malta. He was a billionaire who helped bring Nazis over from Nazi Germany through the good graces, should we say, of his shipbuilding and chemical firm, W.R. Grace and Company. J. Peter Grace owned industries throughout Central and South America. And Pat Robertson, after he flunked his law degree, or his bar exam, I should say, not his law degree, but he couldn't get his law license. I guess that was the path that his father had chosen from him in the Illuminati. They wanted him to be a lawyer and a politician because Pat Robertson of the 700 Club of Christian Broadcasting Network, his father was chairman of the Senate Banking and Currency Committee, a U.S. senator, a very wealthy man from Virginia. Pat Robertson couldn't pass his bar exam. But no problem. They sent him down to Brazil. You've heard of the Nazi boys from Brazil. Get the movie with Gregory Peck and James Mason. I think you might understand. Pat Robertson went down there for a while and worked for who else? J. Peter Grace. Grooming him. Then they brought him back to America, where he and another man they were grooming, named Harold Bredesen, went to Pastor Shoemaker's church, an Episcopal church. And they were made editors of Shoemaker's church's newsletter. Bredesen went out and helped to found speaking in tongues throughout the world. He became the man, his father was a U.S. congressman. He was a member of the Illuminati, and they gave him the task of bringing speaking in other tongues to the world. He worked with the owner of Guidepost, Norman Vincent Peale, and they put in articles in that august publication that was read by millions of Christians, promoting speaking in other tongues. Harold Bredesen later founded an organization for world peace. And who was the first recipient of his Prince of Peace Award given by the Prince of Peace Foundation? He chose the Pope of Rome. Pat Robertson, with the Knights of Malta, suddenly decided to start a television network. Oh, so much baloney in his book, Shouted from the Housetops. His autobiography, which he didn't write. Ghostwriters write everything for Pat Robertson. But you will hear in there all the quote-unquote miracles that have occurred with Pat Robertson. For example, you may not know that he was just given for a song a whole television station, probably worth $25 to $35 million, maybe even $100 million, but they just gave it to Pat Robertson for almost nothing. Channel 33 in Dallas. 33, get it? The highest level initiation of the Masons. They also gave him 5 radio stations just as a donation. And guess who sold him his first television station, though? See, at that time, cable TV was in its infancy, and they knew it was going to be big. And they wanted politicians and entertainers and religious leaders in their back pocket. Pat Robertson was one of them. And I believe Ted Turner was another. Ted Turner started Cable News Network. You don't think that he brought himself up from his bootstraps, do you? But then they told Ted, we want to set Pat Robertson up. Sell him your television station in Virginia Beach. And he did. How would you like to go to Ted Turner and say, the big boys tell me you're going to sell me a television station? I'll give you $1 for it. And Ted Turner says, okay, $1. And he had his first television station. And then the big boys auditioned. Listen to me, friends. You have to understand how this works. They auditioned Jim and Tammy Faye. And they said, you know, those stupid charismatics, those full gospel people, they're so stupid. They'll listen to this Jim Baker and Tammy Faye, and they'll really get turned on by them. Did you know that Pat Robertson hired Jim Baker and Tammy Faye? Most people don't know that. They worked first for him. They had the most popular program at Christian Broadcast Network, CBN. They worked right there with Pat Robertson. He gave them their first job. Oh, boy, they were popular. She cried a little bit, sang a little bit, and Jim Baker, queer for the ages as he was, queer, homosexual, but he just reached so many people. They were so successful that the Illuminati set them up in their own Christian network. Boy, gospel TV is really booming. Cable is growing. And the Illuminati got Jim and Tammy Faye and said, you're so popular, just do what we say and we'll give you your own network. And they did. Fort Mill, South Carolina, over on the East Coast. PTL Network, its first administration building there was in the shape of the Great Pyramid of Egypt. Oh, yes. Their first administration building for PTL Network was in the architectural shape of the Great Pyramid of ancient Egypt. And they were successful. But they were being pushed by people behind the scenes. But the big rich men weren't through. Now they had Pat Robertson of CBN and the 700 Club going like great guns on one side they had set up. Then they had their other puppet, Jim and Tammy Faye, over on the East Coast. They needed somebody on the West Coast. Of course, they had Robert Schuller. Robert Schuller got his start, you see. He didn't have a lot of money at the time, but he started a church at an old drive-in theater. People would drive in and listen to him preaching on the old loudspeaker at the drive-in theater. And suddenly a man named Billy Graham, who was wildly popular, because Billy Graham had been puffed up by William Randolph Hearst in his national chain of newspapers of the Illuminati. And William Randolph Hearst, who was a Roman Catholic, get it? A Roman Catholic, said, everybody needs to go listen to Billy Graham. Boy, they went in droves, Catholics and Protestants alike. But then Billy Graham said, everybody needs to listen to Robert Schuller. He's a wonderful preacher. Go to hear him. Pretty soon he was bringing in so much money, Robert Schuller, 33rd degree Mason, that he was able to set up his Crystal Cathedral. The Roman Catholics, under William Randolph Hearst of the Illuminati, and their newspaper empire set up Billy Graham. He helped set up Robert Schuller.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Vital Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.